Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Good, the Bad, and the Just Plain Standard podcast.
So Adam, would you like to do an episode of Amanda Snatch? There's no pressure, no one's telling you anything. It's your decision. What will it be?
I feel like I've been here before.
What do you mean?
Like I've been asked this question before. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's do an episode on Bandersnatch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, I think I said no. I don't know, I feel like I said no before, and this is all, it's really familiar.
Okay.
Okay, let's cool. do an episode. Let's see if that helps me out.
Okay, so today is all about Black Mirror Bandersnatch. That's the first time, well, technically it's a series, so that's the first time we talk about the series. But in reality, it's more than a film and not even really a film.
It's not even part, when you go on Netflix, it's not even part of the Bandersnatch. It's not even part of the Black Mirror series. It's its own file. It's its own interactive film.
Yeah.
Because we and Anouk tried to watch this because we came back from Germany and Jan's like, have you done Bandersnatch yet? We're like, no, we haven't played it. I played it, good word. As opposed to watch it. So we were in Berlin and we're like, oh, we could do it. And I was like, no, wait, because we were going to have Elle Watson or Laura Watson, our friend, but she is very busy doing work in January. So unfortunately, she's not with us for this episode because she's a big Black Mirror fan. So we're like, okay, if Laura, because I think Jan's original idea was we'd watch it all together, even though you and Laura had already seen it, me and Anouk would experience and you'd be around for the first time. Anyway, so we were like, okay, we'll do it. And we were currently in Dunfermline and my parents' TV couldn't do it. It wouldn't play it. It said, well, you can't be part of this one, but you can watch all the other Black Mirrors on Netflix. And it led you to the Black Mirror aisle.
Yeah, if your TV is not smart enough, or if you have Apple TV or Chromecast, I think it's called. Yeah. When it was released, at least that was the case. I don't know how it is now. Mm. But yeah, you just get a trailer, and not even a trailer, something saying that you need a better device.
Yeah, because we watched it, it goes, sorry, it's like loads of clips from Black Mirror of people saying, I'm sorry, basically, from loads of different episodes. And then it goes to, your TV doesn't have the capability to play this episode, and then leads you into the other Black Mirror things. But yeah, this isn't the first soiree for Netflix doing interactive films. If you go on, it might be a bit difficult to find on the regular one, but if you go on the kids file, in the kids section, which is all cartoons, there is the Minecraft interactive story, which was a Telltale game that could be bought, but now it's on Netflix. Because
that was pretty good. Did we do that together?
I think you watched me play bits of it because I was into Telltale games. So
yeah, I've watched a few of them.
But the Minecraft one was for me. It's definitely for a younger audience, which is fine because I'm a fan of Telltale. I want to see what they did with it. That was the last thing they had to fulfill for Netflix before they went bust end of last year. They finished Minecraft for Netflix. Because this is a thing, Netflix will be looking into this sort of interactive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I started the Puss in Boots one, because there is a Puss in Boots interactive thing.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah, a while back.
A bit more like Dragon's Lair. Do you remember Dragon's Lair for the back in the day, Anne?
No.
Dragon Lair was, it's either Dragon Lair or Dragon Quest, I can't remember which one it is. Is a game where you basically would hit left, up, down, or right to dodge certain things on the screen, and if you fucked up, it killed you, like, instantly, and you'd have to go back to the start. I think it was an arcade game. I think it is called Dragon's Lair. It's quite well known as a kind of different idea, because that was back when it was in arcades. It was an arcade game, so you had to put, like, 25p or 25 cents in the machine to play, and if you messed up, you would have to put another one in to get another life sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was like a very basic version of interactive game. Like this, not like the interactive games we see mentioned in Bandersnatch itself, actually.
So we talked already about a few things. We talked about Detroit, where you have multiple choose your own adventure thing. Mm. It's not for everyone, because if you're new to this, it might be a bit disturbing at first.
Mm. I don't remember when they were advertising, because I remember people saying season 5 of Black Mirror is coming Christmas. And people were like, we're getting another series of Black Mirror. And then this dropped. I don't know if people were expecting the whole series or if they were expecting this. Because the amount of work that have gone, I looked it up. It was about 5-8 hours of footage is made and is there in the game.
Right.
Or film, whatever.
Yeah.
apparently there are trillions different possibilities. On Reddit, you have already the flowcharts that are there.
Oh, wow. Well done. Course, well done for flowcharts, because flowchart, I thought about trying to flowchart it, because we have a great experience of flowcharting, don't we, Jan, from last year trying to complete the whole of Detroit and just halfway through going, it's just like, I can't, I'm not into this.
I mean, to be fair, they have to foresee what choices people could make. And that could be literally anything. Like, every human would make a different choice, right? So they have to make sure that they've got every single way forward so that you enjoy the experience as much as possible. I think the most backlash that it got was that people felt like they'd make a wrong choice. And they didn't like that, because if this is the choice that I made, why are they telling me that it's the wrong one? But I feel like that's possible. I mean, I kind of get it, because it does literally tell you that you made the wrong choice. But that's because the people that are like in the storyline, the people are aware that you have more than one story. So the characters can tell you as a character that you have made the wrong choice, rather than it being a storyline where it's just a story and you as an audience player can manipulate their choices. Well, this, if that makes sense.
This isn't uncommon, because it's known as a failed state, i.e. we just recently played Until Dawn recently.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain decisions in that game, if you make them, that will lead you down this path that will kill your character, and it won't reboot, like saying, oh, try again. So in this version, it's the same thing. There are paths in the story that will lead you to what would be the end of the story, because they don't link to other scenes. There's no way your character could get from this moment back onto the line. It diverges. If we're thinking as a flowchart, this would be off to the right, and then it's a dead end. So it's essentially, if I don't know what would make it easier, if it said game over, or it came up, try again. Like, people saying that I made the wrong decision, like, yeah, you did make the wrong decision. You made a decision that ended the game. In fact, the first big choice in the game, 9 people out of 10 will choose the wrong choice, and it ends the game.
Yeah.
I.e., you choose to accept the offer of working at the place, and then you get kicked back to the beginning of the game going, no, it didn't work out.
I think it's actually, it's smarter to tell you that you fail, actually, because I don't know what your experience is with choose your own adventure books, if you read that in your childhood. Or
Fred, no, I think I didn't read any. I played like Telltale games for my first introduction to choose your own adventures. Yeah. And I know of, say, for example, the old school choose adventure computer games like The Hobbit that's mentioned in this film, where it would be like, it would just be dialogue. You've arrived in this room.
Yeah.
Search behind rock, you type in. Or you would say, go left, can't go left. And it would stop you doing things. But you could, if you could, it would say, okay, you collected a lamp. You know, you went forward. You checked behind the rock.
Even though I probably have like 10 of them, like those old collections of Choose Your Own Adventure books, I probably read 2. And I purchased on Kickstarter. At the time, it was the highest funded book on Kickstarter. The Hamlet, choose your own adventure version of Hamlet.
Oh, right, yeah.
Did that ever come out?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I have it here, actually.
Ooh. Oh, awesome.
You can either choose, and it indicates with a small skull next to the choice what actually happens in the play, uh-huh. or diverge.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's because in all that I've read so far and seen, I'm pretty sure that's the first time that the character inside the story is aware of the presence of the kind of a fourth wall breaking kind of thing. The aware of the presence of the reader or the watcher.
I think that's because it's a Black Mirror episode. I think that's the story. I think if people are going to have criticisms, because Black Mirror episodes in themselves always kind of touch upon a social issue or a hypothetical issue, you know, like, well, for example, with the very first episode with the Prime Minister and the pig, you know. How far do you go for service to your country in a ridiculous situation?
Based on a real story I learned recently.
Yeah, that was an interesting event. I mean, when that story broke in Britain, everyone was like, did they know? Did the writers of Black Mirror secretly know this?
Uh-huh.
And even Charlie Brooker was like, I couldn't have made it up. And even Waldo, the episode where a mascot or a fictional character, like a showbiz entity, becomes the leader of a party and a movement. And then with the whole events that happened in 2016, everyone's like, how many more Black Mirror episodes will come to life, you know?
Yeah.
So in regards to like that, the one thing I found a bit annoying with this is that I didn't know what was going on before I went in. I didn't know what the story was. So I was always waiting for the point of like, he would end up in the game. I don't know why I thought that was going to happen. But the story is him realizing he's in a choose your own adventure story, really.
Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting. So, you know, when something is so new, you're not used to it. And you also, the characters are aware that they're in a their own storyline and they are being manipulated by you. Like even Netflix comes on. And of course he doesn't know what Netflix is because this is set in the 80s. There's a moment where I feel like an immediate revulsion of like, oh, I don't like this. Like this is too different. It's too weird. But actually if you sit with something that's just a bit different and something that you're not used to, you start realizing that it's not hate that you're feeling. It's more just surprise. And you might need to just sit with it for a bit. And because I can relate to that feeling of like, oh, this is too weird, especially when you're not used to like sci-fi type putting real people into like really weird situations, even though I feel like Black Mirror has always done that. It's pushed boundaries and always been able to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, which isn't always a bad thing. But I think a lot of people felt that that immediate revulsion and thought, oh, this isn't for me. Boom, it's, you know, like boundary immediately up.
It's different for us because we play Choose Your Own Adventure games. I mean, we've played, I mentioned at the beginning, we've played Detroit, Until Dawn, many Telltale games we've played.
Yeah.
All these stories that we are based, we know that genre, we know what happens, you know, choices have consequences, all that sort of vibe. But I wonder how this plays to somebody that doesn't have that experience, that doesn't play video games. Like Charlie Brooker talks about, I think one of the earlier series that Charlie Brooker did was about video games on BBC Four. So the guy is into playing video games. So the ability to create a video game with your own platform, I mean, you wouldn't say no. But I'm curious if people that have come to love Black Mirror, where the crossover is. I know there will be a lot because Black Mirror is quite this very young scene and video games at the moment are super in. I mean, look at the best experiences story we had last year, one of them was definitely God of War, you know? Like these abilities to tell stories through a different medium that isn't just cinema.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see people that wouldn't usually choose to play a video game playing a video game.
Yeah, I think also it does very much show that there are some things that just aren't for everyone. Because this got backlash. This was hated. Even on my Facebook, there were people that are creative and like very intelligent. Like, so this isn't just people that are like, oh, this isn't entertainment and chucked it away. And I get it. But it's because we're not used to it. But also it will it will tell you that you've made a wrong decision. And I think all telltale.
It doesn't matter. They're not stories anymore.
They don't tell you that you made a wrong decision. It will just end. But in this one, it actually tells you like, yeah, you fucked up. Like, do it again. Because the characters are aware of what's going on. Well, some of them are. I thought it was quite genius though, because in this world of technology, this might be a really bit really, really out there, but in this world of technology, I think we because we're so used to so much stimulus from so much film and cinema, and we have a phone in our hand every few seconds, and everyone has a TV screen. We have so much stuff like coming in, and we're kind of dissociating from it. And I think it was talking a lot about that, because you know how Black Mirror always has like a message. It's talking, I think it has that slight feeling of like, we're dissociating from, you know, these are real people, and we kind of want to see lives being more and more fucked up and more violent, just because we're so desensitive to seeing these images.
On the flip side of that, it also toys with the... I know for a fact, because I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2 right now, or GTA, or any of these open world games, especially Rockstar Grand Theft Auto style games, which are huge, right? There'll be night, if you're bored, you'll just like kill a police officer, and then you will be on a chase for like an hour, you know, like doing all these random things that you couldn't normally do, like just being mental. And this game does give you moments. It's like smash computer or pour tea on the computer. Like all these things that it tries to train you. Like, I don't want to make either of those decisions. Like it's not just, it's a choose your own adventure game. It's like, it plays with you because it's like, if you're invested in the character, you don't want to do either. Like you have to buy into this whole, I'm with Stefan the whole way.
Yeah. You know, I realized so there was Detroit, then I played Assassin's Creed, and then The Witcher with that whole choose your own adventure and mini path thing that obviously won't work for everyone because it forces you to focus and to be active the whole way through. So if your idea of watching a movie is just being on the couch with your girlfriend, making out with something on display on the TV, obviously, you won't choose this one.
Yeah, I think people don't want to be told that they're wrong as well, like, which I get. Sometimes films are something that you watch after a really long day and you don't want to be made to feel like your entertainment moment is work. As actors, I don't know, it does feel more than an entertainment thing, medium, let's say. It's okay that it feels a bit more like you have to work for it. I also think that maybe watching the same scenes over and over again might get a bit repetitive for people because we're used to seeing different scenes in a continuous way until a film ends, right? And so it's tough to keep on going back, watching the same thing, maybe making the same or different.
Even though I think it's done in a smart way because it's faster every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't like, you're like, oh, I need to rewatch everything now. No, yeah, it's no. The technical side must be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can switch it.
It's basically your edit. It's on the fly editing depending on what you're choosing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There are definitely some scenes that have stuck with me though. After talking about all the backlash it got, I thought this was genius. Personally, there are some scenes that have totally stuck with me. And actually the last time that we watched this was like a week ago. And so I think that's a real accomplishment. No, go on.
No, you weren't finished.
I was going to talk about, I can't remember names, but the character that Will Poulter plays, who...
Colin.
Colin, I wanted to say Spatchcock for some reason.
Spatchcock?
No, it's not. It's Colin something.
Ritter?
No, Colin, I don't remember. Oh, before I forget, all of his games are named after Black Mirror episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't get that.
Yeah. Metalhead, Nosedive. If you go on the website, there are a few more.
I like that a lot. So, yeah.
It's Rittman, Colin Rittman.
Yes.
Colin Rittman, not Ritter, yeah. So you've got
not
Colin
Spatchcock
Rittman.
Either.
Okay, I'm sorry. Stefan, when Stefan goes to Colin's house for the first time, flat for the first time, and the imagery and the colors and the way that they dealt with like someone going through a trip, it was quite different. Because quite a lot of people, directors would then put like psychedelic optical illusions like behind the person. And it's all a bit much, even for the audience, because they want to make you feel like you're involved in it. But at this point, it just took certain parts of the room and manipulated it to move in a different way. And so it wasn't an overload. It was more of just a subtle, which I thought it was interesting because you then focused on what Colin was saying, which was super important because it was actually the crux of the whole problem of the game.
It makes you assume, choices-wise, that the way it's written to get a fairly strong story structure is it anticipates you playing the first time in a certain way. Prime example, as I mentioned earlier, is the choice at the beginning of the game where you have to accept the offer to work with the company or work on your own. Now, you choose accept, Colin comes up to you, says wrong path, you're like, what? And then it resets you because you're just like, no, it didn't work out that way, didn't work out for you. Because that's introducing you to the fact that it's like, there are decisions in this game that you have to make against your own idea. You have to go with it. And the story kind of guides you. the choice there, when it's go to Colin's apartment or go and see the doctor, you should see the doctor first, because in a narrative sense, that scene where Colin explains what's going on is like the halfway point, the turning point of the story.
Stefan. Oh, wait.
What? Yeah, when Colin explains to Stefan.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm. I might have said Colin got the doctor. I didn't mean that. I mean Stefan got the doctor.
Yes.
So that's, or you could choose to not do that and go with Colin, which we did on the second time, which when we saw that scene again, I'm like, this is a bit too early for this to be going on. Like, you've not been introduced to this whole choose your own adventure style thing long enough for you to be like, okay, this scene is here. But in a certain way, that's why people will have different reactions, because they will make different choices and the story will be presented to them in a different way. And you're always going to remember your first way you played it. Regardless of however you play it again, you will always remember the first time playing it.
Well, this is interesting because I think Black Mirror does this a lot, where you're just put into a world and they have, so they don't even build a world. They kind of just put you in it, because of course, for everyone involved, it's really natural because it's their world, right? Like if someone from 1700 came into our world, we're not going to be over-explaining things to him or her. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, and so maybe it was something to do with that. They kind of thought, we don't want to patronize you or over-explain things. It's more that we're just putting you into a world and let's see how you deal with it.
Mm.
Even though it's, you're controlling it, this also is part of world building. And they don't usually over-explain. They kind of just, here you go, this is what you need to do, and deal with it, and go.
Apparently, the ending when Stefan actually ends going with his mother on the train is one of the least taken.
Yeah.
On the first try, I think either I had that. Yeah, I think I had that on the first go.
Of course, yeah. You did.
And I had the secret ending with the Bandersnatch tape on the second.
We never got to that, did we, Adam?
Yeah, I think the way to get there is still not defined. I mean,
right? Yeah.
Did you look at the photo twice?
No, I didn't. But Netflix told us to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were told that that's something that you should do.
I think like a month or 2 weeks after the thing, Bandersnatch was released. official Twitter of Netflix or Black Mirror, whatever, who said, try to pick the picture twice next time.
That's nice.
Yeah. I've not read anything. I just noticed them. I talked about the Easter eggs about the games. There's also the hospital or clinic where the Dr. Klein is, which is called San Juniper, which is San Junipero is an episode. When you fail or you've got like exit to credits or go back or whatever, in one of those on the back on the right, you've got a poster and it's 11. On here, looking at you with the intent.
Right. I never saw that either.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff buried in, as there usually is in Black Mirror, to be fair. I've got a question. Do you think the fact that Black Mirror has become like this massive, successful show played against it for this?
Yes, maybe. That's interesting. Because I think, I don't know, maybe because we're so used to everything being like, oh, this was universally loved and everyone loved it and everyone this and everyone that, that if something is hated, it's kind of put down. And actually, sometimes success does that. Like if not everyone finds you amazing, you're lesser. When actually, if something's controversial, that could mean that it's on a higher plane than most things.
I think this happened before. Remember when it came back for series 3 on Netflix and it was mainly American? And we're like, what's happened?
Right.
Because Black Mirror series 1 and 2 were for Channel 4. Off the back of Dead Set, which we might talk about one day.
Yeah.
A very successful zombie horror series written by Charlie Brooker for E4 at the time.
It's awesome.
Which is very good. Features Davina McCall Davina McCall.
Yeah.
Andy Nyman, I think.
I think, yeah, he is in there somewhere, yeah, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's a good shout. Good spot, Jan. So there was this whole British feel to it. And then when it went to Netflix and it starts with the one that's about the likes and the number of likes you've got depends on what sort of service you get. And it was very American. We're like, wait a minute, what's happened? This whole new aesthetic to Black Mirror. Same thing happened in Scotland, actually. There was a successful sitcom. Situation comedy? A comedy TV series. I can't remember if it's a sitcom or not, or you would define it, called Still Game, which was two characters off of a sketch show series called Chewing the Fat who got their own show. And it ran for 6 series, and then it ended. And everyone wanted more. And for years and years and years, there was talk about, when is Series 7 coming? Are we ever going to get it? Mm. And then it came back. But when the original series were filmed, they were in standard definition. They had this sort of real look to them. You know when you watch an older TV series and it feels like you're in the room? Or in fact, The Hobbit did this, and we discussed this on one episode, I don't know where it was, that with the 48 frames made everything look like a set. The same thing happened to Still Game, because technology had evolved, it looked completely different. Mm. So already you had this degree of separation visually of what it was, and the stories we were comparing to when it was back in the day, or nostalgia, you know, we'd had these episodes with us for a long time. So it kind of just was too different for a lot of people, to the fact that it's ending this year after being back for, I think this is the 3rd year they've been back after having a break for so long.
Right.
But it didn't, in a way, it didn't survive the jump. So would this be as ill-received by some people if it wasn't, say, they hadn't gone Black Mirror Bandersnatch? If it had just come out as Bandersnatch, written by Charlie Brooker and the other girl, I think it's Annabelle or something like that.
No, but just because I think that a lot of people feel like there's like a new world. Like since 2016, the world's gone mad and everything's gone crazy. And social, you know, with social media and technology and certain things massively changing for these huge countries, it's kind of like Black Mirror is what people probably want more than ever, because we do feel a little bit like we're living in a dystopian world. But I mean I get your point. Sometimes it's best to like leave things alone and to bring it into a new world as such. It can like break it apart, but I feel like there's so much that Black Mirror could do. This was just a different genre that some people didn't like. I don't think the Black Mirror name is totally branded with that.
Well, the same thing.
Well, it's written in bigger letters, Bandersnatch. Like you see immediately Bandersnatch rather than Black Mirror.
Mm.
Yeah. And I also, I'm not sure that I immediately jumped to the fact that like, oh, this will be exactly the same as everything else, because I don't think it's branded like that. I think it's kind of, you're kind of told that this is a little bit different because it's put in even in a different genre, and the way that it was packaged was a bit different.
I don't know if how many people are concerned by this, but the percentage, but maybe, I mean, if I only had a Chromecast or an Apple TV to watch this, paying the subscription every month and not being able to play that thing would annoy me quite a bit.
So. Well, seeing as the subscription fee just went up as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sure. That's a good point. I mean, I don't know. It's the technical aspects. I mean, Netflix will be working to get that to work because they want it to be seen by as many people, because the way that, well, I'll just sit here. The video games are the most successful market, right? At the moment. Make the money wise, at least, you know, the money that God of War made, the money that Red Dead Redemption will make, the money, like all these record breaking numbers every year. You'd see like Grand Theft Auto smashes all time record sales for video games, or Call of Duty. It was Call of Duty Black Ops 2 did it one year. Like every year there's a new one that breaks the record. So they are extremely successful market. So if Netflix can tap into the video game style genre, would be amazing. Because Telltale were in works with Netflix to do, I don't know if they were doing, it was a partnership with Netflix to do a Stranger Things styled Choose Your Own Adventure, which will never happen now because the studio shut down. But I don't know if that was meant to be a video game or it was meant to be like what Bandersnatch was, but with characters in the world of Stranger Things.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. They're opening a whole new thing, and there are other same style kind of stuff planned, so We don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But I'm telling you now, Netflix will be producing more of these interactive films. It's there. There are already more than just Bandersnatch on.
A bit unrelated, but I'd like to welcome Will Poulter in the club of those who are dissociated themselves from official social media. Because you've got two approaches to safeguard your mental health, either to talk about it all day long on social media, your mental health, or just avoid social media.
Especially when you're in the limelight like that. I mean, it must be really difficult just because of the anonymity that social the commenting brings. It makes people say horrific things and they forget that they're talking to real people. People read them and they see a person saying it to them. And for some reason it doesn't work the other way. When you're saying things, you don't feel like you're speaking to a person, but when you see it, you see a comment about you, you can think about the person saying it to your face. And it's kind of this horrible balance. I mean, there's not even a balance. It's a really horrific, like, I mean, even anyone reading the comments on social media, it's just absolutely brutal. So I definitely get why people are saying no to any sort of social media profile.
Well, the thing is, because social media, if you're doing it as it's supposed to be done, it's actually you instead of your publicist or a company that is actually taking care of everything. They are actually writing your stuff. But for Twitter and Instagram, it's supposed to actually be the person.
Yeah.
So obviously, if it's actually the person, they will read all that crap. But if it's a company that is I think, who was it? Well, I don't remember. Someone who is just using those to talk about the movies. They don't join anything and just about their stuff. This is just professional thing.
Yeah. Probably a little bit more healthy if you're even a little bit sensitive.
But on Twitter, you can't escape with all the moments and the stuff that appear. You can't never escape the news and the controversies and the stuff. So
no, and also like I think it's okay to be sensitive. I think there's this whole thing of like, oh, I don't care. Like, say whatever you want about me. I don't, you know. And actually, some people do care. Like, and that's okay. Like, if you think that that's too much for you to handle, like, you can leave a situation if you think it's too toxic. So I totally get it. Because also it's about mental health, but it's also like that can affect your work the next time. You could say no to things and you could not do, you know, that next project because you're terrified of, oh no, now I can't make a noise or now I can't make people upset. I have to do the thing that everyone will be happy with. And actually doesn't have to be your brand.
Yeah, surely when it's something that you're still on stage for, obviously you can't read all that stuff because that will for sure affect you. Whereas in movies and all those projects, it's finished. You're nowhere near the production, so it's a bit safer still.
I think it's just the same as you know, you don't read reviews, you know, of the play you're in.
Absolutely.
And it's just Twitter for actors and creatives is just a big review platform.
Yeah,
that's what social media and internet is for anything that you create. It will be, people will always have an opinion on it, and people will always tell you what they think, positive or negative. You know, so if you're not a review sort of person, you don't read them. It doesn't help you. It's like maybe you should consider, you know, what you do with it. I don't know. I mean, I have Twitter. I don't really post. I use it for like seeing stuff, but I usually tweet about the podcast and stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's
I don't
good.
Use it. I don't.
No.
I don't feel, and it's the same with Facebook as well. Like I rarely use Facebook as well, unless it's like, you know, sharing podcast stuff or, you know, family event or whatever. You know,
there's lots of bandwagon jumping on Twitter.
Yeah.
We've seen all this sort of stuff and people cover it at better detail than we could ever do because we don't know enough about that world. Because even our Twitter account, we don't use a lot.
No.
Or even Instagram. We don't, socially wise, we're not like ultra on it, really. And I think that might slowly become more the case with a lot of people as we get older and older.
Because there's a lot of bad and there's a point where like you realize that because it's so easy, it doesn't mean anything, like some of the comments and whatever, like there's a lot of hate and et cetera. And As soon as you become older, you kind of realize that this isn't like a real relationship that I have with this person. Like, this is just a chance for someone to project their own hate onto
the world.
Onto you.
Ah, right. We talked about Jeremiah Sand in a Mandy episode, and it delved into people that are dicks and you're trying to still be around or not. I think social media is because the thing, every time I go on Twitter, I regret it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I go to Instagram a bit less because it's just, well, I don't know exactly why, but Instagram a bit less for some reason.
I think Instagram, it's harder to be more like Twitter, you know, like the ones I don't get on Instagram, it's like all these sort of Marvel accounts and it'll be like photos of like, oh, what we know about the next Avengers film. And it's like different photos of the Avengers with the titles underneath. And like that sort of content doesn't really work on Instagram. Like Instagram is its own kind of, I don't know. I mean, the idea of the photo sharing is pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how it works as well as it does, but it works.
You can, now it's been 2 years, I think, you can follow hashtags. So what I often do and still do these days is to hashtag with dogs.
Yeah.
So there's weird and funny and lovely videos. But so Instagram is fine, but no, Twitter is just terrible.
I don't know.
I'm not on Twitter. I just felt like I'm just way too sensitive for this world. The Twitter world, not this world, hopefully. I'm trying to stop scrolling.
Mm.
This has become about something completely different, but yeah. Because if I see the best worlds that people want to post, my mental health kind of just degrades very quickly because you think your mental health can then make it about like comparisons, and that's just the worst thing you can do. And of course, intellectually you can be like, well, that's stupid, why are you comparing? But sometimes you don't have that kind of boundary to what you're taking in. So I have a few things that I like to follow, and because they are always posting, I do like to go on, and that's why I want to keep it. Also with actors, it's the only way that you can get jobs
at the moment
usually.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to scroll because I feel like I honestly can feel me draining into a depression. Like, it's literally, it feels like a black cloud just becoming, I can literally feel it happening. So there are certain things, I think you just learn as well what you need and what you don't need. Like, it's all personal. So,
I think I'm hiding it very well, but I also have this with Twitter. It's just, and all that political thing is just like,
oh, I know.
So, yeah.
Bandersnatch.
Yeah, Bandersnatch.
Sorry. Right. This started because Will Poulter is now off social media and we understand.
Yes.
That's basically what we were trying to say.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this feeling. Like, I actually wasn't on the helm. I was watching someone playing it. And so maybe that dissociated me from the anger. I don't know.
I didn't feel anything of like that. I didn't feel like, oh, it's amazing.
But you're very used to playing games like this, so
yeah,
it wouldn't feel super different.
I did feel that a lot of choices felt very weighted. Like, I wasn't sure what to make, and it came down to like last 3 seconds,
which
is very good for a choose your own adventure game to do, because there's lots of you like, oh, this is absolutely the right decision.
Yeah.
When a game gives you tough decisions like that, you always appreciate it because it's really putting the pressure on. So as a choose your own adventure game, I could highly recommend this.
Go on.
Yeah, and you've got time limits for all choices.
Yes.
Which is not the case in The Witcher 3, is not the case anywhere.
Ah.
So there you really have to focus and to focus your attention to everything that happens.
Silence is not a valid option.
No.
Sorry, Telltale.
But I think going back to Adam's point as well, that it's good because when you go back, you actually want to see what that choice made. And so it does make you feel like, oh, actually, I want to see if I made the other choice, what that would bring me to.
Mm.
And so you don't feel like it's over. And I think, I know, obviously, as we were talking before,
maybe people wanted things to be over when their choice was done. But actually, it was interesting to see if I, you know, you made a different choice where you would go. Because, I mean, and also I've watched a film where I've been like, I wouldn't have made that decision. And oh, I wonder where that would have been. And actually, this is quite an interesting genre to bring in where you feel like you can actually go back and see where that would lead you.
Mm. It's also interesting that they sort of tell you fail. Yes, you fail. But they actually take into account this, just like in the intro you heard. Like if you, the very first time you say, yes, I want to work in the Turkisoft offices and everything. And then, okay, you chose the wrong path. You come back. And then Colleen is like, well, wait, have I seen you somewhere before? It's everything yeah. is. So that's why there are so many, well, they talk about trillions of specific paths you can take, like specific times you can watch it and it's different. I'm not sure, but for sure, every time I've played, which is something like 5 or 6 times, I had some different stuff. There are only 5 different real endings.
Yes.
And like, because sometimes you get some like kind of a soft ending and it says like exit to the credits if you just want to, well, if you're satisfied with what you have.
I think people forget that you're also limited to what they filmed. You know, that what this was a script. They had to film this entire film, the whole story,
sure.
multiple stories,
yeah,
you know, like, and as an actor, that's a really interesting idea of like, how do you separate each story from each other, you know, like, and then eventually the story goes that you realize that and all these happen, but you have to play all the scenes like, this is the first time I'm experiencing this, which is quite interesting.
It's like we haven't talked about this yet, or probably very briefly, Rashomon style.
Okay.
It's, I'm currently watching The Punisher, and what I think it's the last episode of the first season is like this, which works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. It's the same story with flashbacks from different perspectives of from characters' different point of view. Did I have a point? No, I don't think I had a point.
Just explaining something new to us. That's nice. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks for the info. Cool story, bro. Needs more Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Would you make that choice again?
Would you tell that story again?
No, it's
up to you, Jan. It's your decision. Don't feel like we're pressurizing you. I mean, it's up to you. No, do you really want to tell the audience again?
Yes, it's about filming all the same stuff, but slightly different, multiple times.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think it would be amazing as an actor. I think your journey would be very strange because you'd have to do quite a lot of different things because you're like, oh, this is the story if I did this, but this is the, you know, like you have to forget some of the things that you've filmed because your character hasn't actually been through that because that's not the decision they made. I mean, it's slightly different in Bandersnatch because they are slightly aware of the fact that there are other decisions and that Stefan does feel like he's being controlled by something else. But I mean, they're only slightly aware. They don't actually know.
I reckon it must have been they filmed the scene once. Right, we'll film this as if it's the first time. Right, we're filming this as if it's the second time, or we're filming this with the knowledge of yada, 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 yada. Like, there would have to be notes on what style we're going for each time.
Yeah.
That's the only way they could do it.
And it's filming, so they wouldn't do things in order.
No.
Yes, which indeed is for screen, which leads me to the fact that I've been having in mind for a couple of years now a choose your own adventure play. Which has been done a few times, but not in a way that makes sense to my mind. I think it was 2 years ago. I went to see. I thought about this before we started this whole journey in the Choose Your Own Adventure games here. Dave Olmec, who's kind of a geek ginger magician, and he on his lecture notes at the end of his lectures, the notes are actually a Choose Your Own Adventure lecture notes.
Cool.
Interesting.
And I had the idea to try. Well, that requires learning a lot of lines.
Well, that does exist already. I mean, it's called form fear, right? I did this at high school where you would do a court case and then the audience would decide if they were guilty or not. Like they were the jury. And then you would have two endings. You would have the ending if they were guilty and you had the ending if they were innocent. So in a form, this does exist in theatre, but a whole play that is that style, I've never seen that. That'd be quite interesting.
That would be tough. Like that's a lot of rehearsal time and they'd have to have quite a big budget, I think, because, well, hopefully they're paying their actors for something so huge.
Well, they would have to be, You couldn't do it on a fringe scale. It'd have to be a full scale.
And that's what, it would have to be quite a big budget and you'd have to have a lot of time. But it could work. I mean,
it'd be a lot of planning as well, because how would you would have to do by majority, you know?
I mean, what's interesting is that I'm now thinking about the play that goes wrong, because it's a different thing, but that sort of talks about how you need to look at a mistake and rehearse a mistake and make it look like it's not rehearsed, that it's a mistake. So in that way, that would take a lot of time and rehearsing and energy.
Yeah, if you take the 2,000 pages script of Detroit Become Human, yeah, obviously. But but I had this idea following this magic lecture 2 years ago.
Do you know how I would do it? You would get the audience before the play started to choose, like, say it's A, B, or C, or somehow get that choice made before the play starts, and then the play goes on.
And the majority.
Yeah, so then you, because you couldn't do it vote per scene, because it would take forever. Like you, because the logistics of getting the data in and counting it would be too much. So the idea of it, you choose at the beginning of the play, you go, right, you chose this story without even knowing what was going on.
And this is the play.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So the actors would know three different plays or four different plays, and then depending on the majority that the audience wanted in the beginning.
Or like it's ticketed. You buy a tonight's performance is story A. The afternoon's performance is story B.
Oh, that's interesting.
That sort of way. You could do it that way, because that way you wouldn't have the problem of choosing during the plays going on, because you're never going to please anyone that way, because you would, the majority voting.
Yeah,
is as we know
the extreme version of the improv, that the audience decide a title and the improv around it.
Yeah,
I think I've never been there. Probably have to ask Paul if it was that kind of stuff. But I know that Derek Del Gaudio's show, in and of itself, I think it was called, it's done now. You had plenty of cards and stuff to choose before, so probably there was some kind of a choose your own thing involved in this. So it's probably been done, but there are plenty of shows that are either done very far away and never repeated. So and that one is the specific kind of show that no one tells what's inside. Especially while it is still in progress. And I think it also is the same even though it's been a year since it's finished. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. We got any more on Bandersnatch?
I don't feel like I do.
I feel that Bandersnatch is as much as we could discuss it till we come in different scenes, I think it's best watched.
Well, I think most people should do everything before you listen to this podcast ever to watch the thing that we're talking about, just because there are spoilers and we'll talk about things you might not understand. But it will be interesting actually to see what people thought.
Choose Your Own Adventures are interesting because everyone's got their own story in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it would have been interesting. Probably a better way to do this episode would have been if we'd each played it separately and come back with our own versions. But I don't think it really matters.
I mean, we can do that later on if we wanted to.
Cool. Yeah, and you got anything for this? Or do you want me just to ask the question?
I will ask the question.
All right, go on then.
Here at The Good, The Bad and The Just Plain Standard, we rate movies in categories good or bad or just plain standard. And we also have The Vault and plenty of masterpiece and everything. So I will ask Anouk, is this film good? Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no.
Yes.
Good.
I just got there.
You had a second left.
So it's not bad or just plain standard. Adam, is it good? Yes. No.
Yes.
Good. Jan, is it good? Yes. No. Yes.
The thing is, the criteria of just plain standard, this could never just could be that, because just plain standard, it doesn't try anything. This tries in its own style, and for me, it worked. So okay. I would say it's a good, it's a strong good for me.
Yeah. I think it's good or bad, right?
Yeah.
because even the people that hated it would know that this has definitely tried something different and broken some boundaries at least. Yeah. Will it go into any of like the other levels? I'm not sure.
Maybe in time,
but I feel like right now it's in the good level rather than Masterpiece Legendary in my vault. It's too soon to tell, really. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Do you have a last 5-minute segment to talk about stuff we've seen or we think about?
Do I have anything else? I am performing in Glasgow on the 27th of February at the Old Hairdressers for, it's called Scratch Night, I believe. I'm doing a monologue piece with the Anouk's director and our friend from Nothing. We're doing a piece together for that. I'll properly plug it in another episode when I've got like the dates and all the details and stuff. But yeah, I'm doing that soon. Anyone else got anything coming up?
This is the first Friday of February.
Is that not my birthday?
You should. I don't know.
Because my birthday is the 8th, and the 9th is a rugby game. That might be Saturday or Sunday. It could very well be my birthday this episode.
I don't know, but
who knows?
You would have heard in the Isolani episode, and if I forgot, I'll reiterate here. We're trying to have guests once a month. So you just had Isolani with R. Paul Wilson, Kate McLaughlin, and Catriona Evans. At the end of this month, so February, you should have the Anani Apocalypse episode with the composer Tommy Riley and the writer Alan MacDonald. You're supposed to have next month, at the end of the month, also Anna, but with John MacPhail.
Mm.
The month after that will be the Fringe episode, absolutely. And the month after that, your favorite French movie of all time.
Oh, yes. That was a good episode.
Was it, though?
Yes, it was. We had a guest on, and it was a good one, even though you hated it, Jan. It does.
No, Jan didn't hate it. I hated it.
Sorry, Adam.
What?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Not as much as the rant for the Snapchatting cinema or, you know, all that sort of stuff. No, not that degree. Just no. it was a interesting evening watching that film. I'll say that.
Literally, it will be silence and we'll just be getting ready for bed. And Adam, like under his breath, will be like, so shit. The film is so bad. I'm like, Adam, calm down. Like, there are so many bad films out there. Why did this affect you so much? Anyway.
If anyone mentions the word phi, I immediately go, oh, the wing.
Fuck.
I don't know. The intro for that episode might be my recording of me going nuts after it. I might find some stuff from that and salvage it into the introduction of that film.
Awesome.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you again for listening.
Thanks, guys.
We were
Adam,
Anouk,
and Jan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Just Plain Standard podcast. If you like what you heard, you can leave us a review via iTunes. If you want to keep up to date with what we're doing, you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Good, Bad, Standard Podcast on both platforms. If you fancy seeing the live streams that we talk about in the podcast, they can be found on youtube.com. You search for Milk in a Wine Glass. There are other bits and bobs on there too, just to see what Jan's up to during the week. And if you really like us, like really, really like us, why don't you head on over to patreon.com/goodbadstandardpodcast and have a look if you want to support us. Any small donation is appreciated.